Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
All right, and welcome aboard to another episode of New Retirement Radio, starring the team from Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, led by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. Thawed and ready to run. Thawed. And by the way, even though everything else is canceled, we are not canceled.
We
are
here.
The show is on this morning. We are live. And it's great to be safe. Isn't it been kind of a bit crazy in the last few days, getting acclimated to this climate?
I think it's fun. It's adventurous.
It's an adventure.
That's how I see
it's
it.
Cold.
And also can be interesting, scary in some respects.
Shea Pataja in Prout Financial Design, Chief
CXO, Chief Experience Officer.
And Heidi is back.
Heidi Thompson.
Yes, good morning.
He's back.
Great to have her here with us. She's going to be discussing navigating healthcare taxes in five easy steps. Is that an oxymoronic phrase or not?
Easy, relative.
Statement, rather. So we'll be talking about a lot of different things. So for those of you who are still remaining thawed and are listening, welcome to our radio show. Thank you for listening. This weekend, as you say, Ron, the New England Invitational is this weekend?
New England Patriots Invitational, yes.
I used to call it
the Super Bowl. But.
What are they going to say? I mean, if you're good, you're good.
Yeah.
No, nothing else to say. So today we're talking about QCDs, Qualified Charitable Distributions, some things you're going to want to remember because we are on the offense beginning of 19. What are the limitations to qualified plan contributions? But then how does it give you freedom within those limitations to say, oh, my gosh, you mean I can contribute that much? I didn't know that. I didn't know I could put that much in. And for those of you who work more than one job even, what could I do about that? So we're going to be talking about QCDs, and that's going to be the big kid on the block here for tax planning, I think, for 2019 and beyond. Why that's important to you and some of the rules of the road on that, and then also multiple plans, how you can possibly take advantage of those, about five key things to remember in regards to that, as well as the limitations, funding limitations, dollar amounts that you might put into those plans, and some stories behind that and why that could be helpful to you as well. So should we get started now?
Can you do QCDs for the 2018 year, or is this all looking ahead for 2019?
That is a great question.
Ron, you're so smart.
Mean, seriously, you cannot do a QCD for 18. And that's one of the primary rules that they state, that because you can make an IRA contribution if you're eligible for 2018 until April 15th of this year. But you cannot do a QCD for last year, a qualified charitable distribution for last year. It has to be taken in the year of the tax filing specific. So 2019 QCD is only available now as of January 1st for 2019. It's only counted for 2019 as a part of your required minimum distribution. So some of the rules important to remember on those QCDs is, first of all, on the taxes, there is no special code or box on the new 1099-R, and we do have the new tax forms that they're available. So for those of you who were concerned that you wouldn't be able to file your taxes, no worries, you will be able to file your taxes. I'm sure I see a lot of happy faces in the audience about that. Now, we send a letter to each of our clients in regards to the QCD stating that they completed a QCD in 2018, confirming the transaction with instructions to provide documentation to their tax preparer. We sent that out to all of our clients. And that was one of the points made in Ed Slott's newsletter. And that's why we share that with you. Now, how to do this, how to report it for those who file their own taxes. Report the full amount on line 4A for IRA distributions. On the line for taxable amount 4B, enter zero if the full amount was a qualified charitable distribution. So let's say your RMD for the year was $5,000. And you put the full RMD, you gave the full RMD to your church, for instance. Then you could say the taxable amount was zero and enter QCD next to line 4B, as in boy, to get that done. For those who like to know that sort of thing and that detail, there you have it. It's yours for the taking.
Yeah, you don't need to call in about that. We just answered it.
Right, 4A and 4B. And, by the way, IRA owners and beneficiaries who are age 70 and a half or older are permitted up to $100,000 in QCDs annually and must follow the first dollars out rule. That means, well, okay, first of all, let's go back a bit. So if you have a beneficiary IRA, and let's say you're 75, you inherited an IRA from an aunt, as it were, and you have to take an RMD from that, you could give that RMD to a charity of your choice. And that RMD, if you're a beneficiary, naturally is a much bigger percentage of the amount if you're taking your own RMD from your own IRA. So because it's that much greater, the QCD, the qualified charitable distribution, may make more sense for an account like that because you inherited it.
Do you know if churches or 501c3s send informational letters out to their followers and supporters about this strategy?
They try to, but it's not nearly as good as the information that we share right here, Ron. I'm sorry. It's just a, you know, it's a poor second.
But they could be leaving money on the table. They could say, did you know that you could do this? Call Dennis Prout and he'll tell you how to execute
that. Honestly, they are. There's lots of publications out there about this, and it is going to be a big, it's going to be a big deal in the coming years. Because it's one of the few tax loopholes left. Mm. One of the few left.
Hmm. Well, especially with the tax brackets, $100,000 can bump you up into that next bracket. And
indeed, if that was the full amount of your RMD, oh my gosh, yeah. And we've got clients who are well over half that amount in total required minimum distributions. So first dollar in and first out, that part of it is... the first dollars out rule, rather, your required minimum distribution. Let's go back to the $5,000 amount example. In that case, if your RMD is $5,000, you are charitably minded and want to give that amount to charity, you want to take that amount first and give it to the charity through the QCD. Because that amount will then be fully non-taxed, non-taxable, versus any extra amounts that you might give would have been, that's not taxable anyway, because that wasn't part of your RMD. So what I'm saying is, if you take your RMD and let's say that same $5,000 and you take it as income, you can't use an extra amount as the QCD and not deduct it as income. You see what I'm saying? So let's say you were going to give $10,000 to your charity of choice and your RMD is $5,000. Take the first $5,000 and give it through the QCD. Is that clear?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
That's a bit dicey in there in terms of trying to communicate that via these airwaves and this microphone here.
Here.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See? Good. What else should we talk about? Is there anything else? I'm just curious. We have a ton of information here this morning, which we want to discuss. So QCDs, the popular kid on the block. Next, the five key rules for doubling up contributions. Five key rules for doubling
up. Why would you want to double up your contributions?
Yeah, this is kind of crazy because you need to know the rules. If for instance, let's say we have a relatively young couple. They're 32. They're 32 each. And let's just use him as an example. Let's say he's got a job where he's got a simple IRA account, and he has another job where he's got a 401k. In the simple IRA account, if he's contributing in at his job with a simple IRA, he can put in 3% of his compensation. His employer generally is going to match that full 3% as a contribution to his account too. So in essence, he's making 100% on his dollars put in. He puts in 3% of compensation. His employer puts in 3%. There's the 100%. Nice. And at the same time, he has a 401k over here. Let's say he's working for Prout Financial Design. They have a 401k plan. They also have a Roth option, as Heidi knows. Yes,
yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
And so does Shay. And so do I, of course. So he says in his own mind, well, you know, I like the idea that they have a simple plan. Prout has a fantastic 401k with great investment options and a Roth option. Why wouldn't I take what I would like to do there and put it into the Roth account? Because I'm going to get a match there at Prout. Right. And then I have a simple that's going to be fully taxable when I take it out as income. And I also have a Roth option in my 401k that's going to be fully non-taxable when I take it out. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, there it goes. And because in this particular example, he's under 50, he can put up to how much per year as a 401k contribution?
17,000.
Close. Higher. Higher.
18.
19. 19. For 2019, it's 19K. 19. $1,000 he can
that's
put in.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
I don't know anyone that's 32.
It's a little over $1,500 a month he could put in.
Well, if they're living in their parents' basement and they want to save for retirement.
You know, some of these younger folks are rather driven when it comes to saving. They're willing to live just about anywhere, you know, boxcars and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Given that he wants to do that, it's an incredible savings opportunity because that money comes out tax-free. Or he could say, in the alternative, you know, I want to do 50-50, 50% of his deductible, 50% in the Roth. You get it. He gives him more options.
Well,
for anyone who has double plans.
Well, I think the doubling up, if we're going to go that extreme, makes more sense for those who are close to retirement. I've known people where they're both working, and one of the spouses puts all of their income. They max out the highest levels with their income. They don't touch it for like 5 years just to build that so that they can retire.
Yes.
I can see that being more doable than someone who's younger and trying to double up.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could double up and just do a little bit, that would also be great.
You could. I used a rather extreme example. Mm-hmm. I admit it. I am a financial advisor after all. We're into extreme examples around here.
You have hopes and dreams that people...
Well, that's right. Let's do it. Go, go, go.
The magic of compound interest.
Yes. And actually, given that note, you took the rabbit trail. I just said, okay, what's $1,000 a month for 20 years? Well, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
$240,000.
At 6% interest, 6%. It is $240,000. That's the net amount that you put in.
All right.
And the full amount, if it grows at 6%, pretty conservative rate over that 20-year period. Now, not everyone gets that rate of return, I understand. It's not a promise. It's an approximation of what could be achieved. Is that a pretty good disclosure?
You did a good job. Yeah.
It's
okay
an
with
estimate.
That? Yeah, it's an estimate only. And there's the amount. Ron?
$464,000 and change.
Yes.
You have almost doubled your money.
Yes. And at 7%?
That would be $523,000 and change.
The magic of compounding.
Compounding.
It's nuts. So the car payment?
Can work for you or against you.
Yes. Yeah. And in terms of compounding over the long term, it's crazy how that works. We've talked about that before, but it's interesting to hear the numbers. And just to review that briefly in terms of what that could accomplish. Well, Dennis, I'm 75. Compounding makes no difference to me. I mean, I'm drawing funds out. Well, if you do have a job still and you want to take advantage of compounding, there's the Roth IRA. That's
there
one
you go.
Option. Or the 401k. Those kinds of retirement accounts still can make sense, even after age 70 and a half.
Okay. When I said compounding could work against you, meaning if you have a credit card account and
yes.
$20,000 and you're paying it off $60 a month, that's compound working against you, right?
It is, okay. Ron, because yes. There's no way that you're going to earn that kind of interest in any other kind of investment, given that you're paying that interest on your Visa card or MasterCard. So do your best to get those paid off on a monthly basis. Not always possible, I understand, but do your best to get that done.
Do you want to talk about those limits?
Yes. There is one limit for regular IRA contributions. Regular contributions to an IRA are limited to the lesser of 100% of eligible compensation, or for 2019, $6,000 for the year. For those who are at least 50, which is no one in this room here is over 50, there's an additional catch-up contribution of $1,000. So for Ron, if anyone was 50, that would mean that they could put $7,000 into their Roth IRA or into a deductible IRA if they qualify, given their current work and income limits. So you have to qualify within income limitations to within income limits, rather, for a deductible contribution and for a Roth. Now, Roth income limitations are much higher, approaching $190,000 of modified adjusted gross income. A non-deductible contribution, there is no income limit. So there is one IRA meant for you if you have earned income. There is no limitations on anyone. It's a free country for all. It's a free-for-all.
It's a
non-deductible,
free-for-all.
Deductible, or Roth. You can do one of those. What? I thought I couldn't do any IRA. No. You heard it here first. See? It's amazing. So before we get into the rest of it, Heidi has some healthcare tax notes. Healthcare taxes.
Yes. Navigating the healthcare taxes in 5 easy steps. And they're complicated easy steps. So just to be make that
it's
a little
bit clear. It's an oxymoronic. Yes.
So phrase. We're going to start with the definition of investment income. And you're like, why are we talking about investment income? I thought you said it was healthcare taxes. Well, if everyone remembers Obamacare, some of that legislation added a surtax based on your investment income. So we need to know what is investment income. Investment income is interest, dividends, capital gains, long and short, annuities, but not those that are in IRAs or company plans, royalty income, passive real estate income, other passive activity income. And now I'm going to give you the list of what is not investment income. Wages, self-employment income, active trade business income, distributions from IRAs, Roth IRAs, and employer plans, excluded gain from the sale of a principal residence, municipal bond interest, proceeds from life insurance policies, veterans benefits, Social Security benefits, gains on the sale of an active interest in a partnership or S corporation. So now that everybody understands what's investment income
clear,
and what's
clear.
Not, the first step, number one, is to identify the surtax income thresholds. So the MAGI, or the Modified Adjusted Gross Income Number threshold, to avoid the 3.8% surtax on the net investment income. These are the thresholds that when that goes into effect. Married filing jointly, $250,000. Individuals, $200,000. Married filing separately, $125,000. Trust and estates, $12,750 for 2019. So trust and estates are hit particularly hard with the surtax. It kicks in at a much lower income level than individuals or couples.
So this may have some impact on those who are establishing trusts. You want to make certain that you understand the income tax implications that those who might inherit through a trust, and especially if they're inheriting an IRA, given that significant amount of tax that would be imposed on income above $12,750, in essence, it could be as much as another 4.7%, almost 5% additional tax on any income above $12,750. That's a pretty low threshold and a very high tax rate.
Exactly. So, number two, you look at your taxable income. Taxable income from all sources can push taxpayers over that MAGI threshold and cause their investment income to be subject to that 3.8% surtax. But a little bit of a happy note, if you have a Roth IRA, the income tax-free Roth distributions will not affect that number. So this goes back to what Dennis was saying earlier about that 401k, if you have that Roth option, building up those Roth benefit amounts can be very strategic for you down the line when you're in retirement and you're drawing income and you're trying to stay within certain thresholds. So the next point is to understand how much will be taxed. The 3.8% surtax is imposed on the lesser of number first, net investment income, or second, the amount of MAGI over the certain income threshold. Taxpayers with income below that MAGI level will not be subject to that surtax. So it's important to keep those in mind.
And just an adjunct here, you may want to you want to discuss this with your tax professional.
Exactly.
For those who have one, am I subject to this Obamacare tax?
Right.
And how might I avoid it? It obviously get very expensive.
And so we talked about that 3.8% surtax, and you may be, well, is that it? And the answer is no, there's another tax. The 3.8% surtax gets the attention, but there is also an additional 0.9% Medicare tax on wages and self-employment income over those MAGI thresholds. So that would be an additional tax. Also, your medical expenses must exceed 10% of AGI to be deductible. So finally, point five, I have a few tax planning points, things to try to keep in mind when you're looking at this and you're planning for those future income streams. You need to know that that while IRA and plan distributions are exempt from the surtax, taxable distributions from those sources can push your income over those MAGI thresholds. So if you're thinking about the Roth, we talked about the benefits of the Roth. Roth conversions can be a valuable tool, but remember the year that you take that Roth, you make a Roth conversion, that can add to the income that year. And so you want to keep that in mind for those thresholds. Salary deferrals, 401ks, for example, can reduce MAGI for the 3.8% surtax, but not for the 0.9% Medicare tax. So it's pretty tricky. These are five easy steps, as they say, but they're very tricky, easy steps. And you would want to consult with a tax professional or a financial advisor when you're making these decisions and you're trying to put those puzzle pieces together for a good plan.
So. Awesome. Thanks, Heidi.
Let me read our disclosure real quick. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor. Prout Financial Design does not offer legal or tax advice. Please consult the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance.
Thanks, Shay.
So we were talking about these limits, right? If you want to double up limits. And the first thing that came to mind was my parents went to parent-teacher conferences when I was in kindergarten. And this is the story that was relayed. And I think it basically set up how I would operate for the rest of my life. The teacher was trying to teach us how to color inside the lines. So we got, you know, this blank drawing. And then we got crayons. And she was going around and helping us and critiquing and giving feedback. And she came to me and she said, Shay, that's really nice. But next time, why don't you color inside the lines?
Hello.
And I didn't even look up at her. And I said, yeah, I just don't see it that way. So I guess limits have never been something I've liked. And we were
hopefully, when you drive, you try to stay within the lines there.
When I drive, I stay within the lines. Okay. Or, you know, like if you see like red in your bank account, that's a limit you need to pay attention to. So I was kind of going from like maybe the dark side of limits. But Dennis is like, no, limits can be a very good thing. And he was trying to keep it positive. So I'll let him take the positive spin on how limits are good.
Yeah, from my standpoint, the limits help us understand, okay, my gosh, you know, I didn't realize I could put in that much. That's the tack that I take. And it's interesting. Number two after the IRAs is, let's say Catherine is 55 years old. She has a sole proprietorship. Based on her compensation, she could contribute up to $56,000 to her 401k plan, plus a catch-up of $6,000. So $62,000 in contributions she could make. She may still contribute $7,000 to an IRA. So she can really move toward retirement much more quickly than she might otherwise, just knowing that she's got these maximum amounts that she could place in these retirement accounts. It's huge. A couple of reminders, regular contributions to Roth IRAs are subject to income limits as well. Participation in a 401k might affect Catherine's eligibility to claim a deduction for contributions to an IRA. So keep in mind, all right, if I have access to a 401k, I may not be able to deduct it. I may have to do a non-deductible IRA or even a Roth. That may be a great diversification strategy in terms of how much you can contribute and to where. Now, there is one salary deferral contribution limit. Individuals who work for more than one employer are sometimes fortunate enough to be covered under multiple plans, which we discussed. But if they're owners in that business, they may be limited, businesses may be limited to the combined amounts that they can contribute. So be aware of those limitations through your work.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.